welcome back to This Week on Channel 9. I'm Dan Fernandez.
And I'm Clint Ruckus.
And we got an interesting show, kind of. We got some Azure stuff, we got some...
jQuery.
And maybe a little HLSL for high-level shader language.
Ooh.
Exactly. So let's just jump right into it. So you were talking about jQuery.
Yes. So if you're a web programmer, if you haven't heard of jQuery, you should. This is an example of ASP.NET MVC using jQuery to create context menus in a table structure. So he goes through and shows how to create a right-click context menu using a jQuery plugin to do this. And it's like all of 20 lines of code total of ASP.NET plus MVC plus the jQuery context menu. Made it super, super easy to do it, and it's just one of those things that helps make your app that much better, because most people think of right-clicking in the context of a normal app versus a web page where you get that extra data.
Save target ads, yeah. All that stuff.
So as more people are starting to override that, I think it's creating a more richer environment. So like if you have Exchange for the web, OWA, a lot of stuff you can right-click and it will actually act like a normal application, where most people would figure it would
like
actually
forward,
act like.
Forward, reply, yeah. Those sort of things in a web mail application.
Yeah, yeah, so it lets you do more work faster.
Cool. This is very cool and certainly a handy line of code. And I think it was Gunnar Pittman that did this, so kudos. Another big one, and this is actually one that Duncan and I were talking about, is the ability to send and receive email in Azure.
Yeah.
So one of the things Steve Marks does is goes through the different options for sending and receiving email in Azure and some of the things that, and even implementing SMTP is not as straightforward because there's a ton of different variations and versions and you have to know how to handle them all and a bunch of stuff. He actually recommends using a third-party service, but then using Azure as
a third-party service to send outbound email.
Right. So it's like a go-between.
Yeah.
Between there. So it's kind of an interesting... way in terms of an architecture, but and also talks about using your custom domain to get custom domain emails and a bunch of stuff. So if you're looking to add email features to a Windows Azure application, here you go.
Yep.
So I'll talk about this one. This is Chris Treadaway, who was writing for Mashable.com. And Chris used to work at Microsoft, and he's doing his own location-based company. But you've heard of this Foursquare thing the kids are using?
I may be a mayor at a couple key locations.
Really? What are you a mayor at? Is this going to be really awkward?
No, actually, I sadly don't use Foursquare.
Oh, okay.
I don't like telling people where I'm going to be, because then it's like, please rob my house.
Actually, there is a website that has the... rob my house, and it's all the Foursquare check-ins when so-and-so has left home.
Yeah.
I think the cool part about these there's a lot of hype about that this is kind of like the next greatest thing, and Chris goes through a lot of examples on how many people are actually signed up for this service, mm-hmm. how many people are using it on a daily basis. You know, what's their usage patterns? Are they using it once a day? Are they using it how many times a day?
Yeah.
And as opposed to just thinking that these are like the next big thing, it may be serving that top 1% of internet users that want to have everything online and not really passing the chasm for mainstream, if you will.
Yeah.
That mainstream users really don't care. I think the other thing that he didn't talk about in this, and he has a number of ways to say evaluate the companies, because right now they're just crazy levels of valuation. One of the things is, how difficult is it going to be for somebody like Facebook to add this? Like, is this not a feature of being able to check in? Is that not a feature of Facebook? Could that not be a feature of Facebook or Twitter?
I totally think that could be a feature of either.
And if so, one, you're either going to buy these groups or build it yourself. And once that happens, like, I just wonder... the valuation of these companies could be crazy.
Yeah. One thing that I typically dislike is after like Foursquare or Twitter, you have these apps that people are very niche and they like it, and then other companies go in and try to recreate the wheel,
mm-hmm.
and it's like I always find that the recreation is always far more subpar, and the original one is way better. It's like kind of like TiVo or Flickr. There's like 800 different sites that try to compete against Flickr, and I still I think it's the best one out there.
Interesting.
So half the time I wish most the company would get just straight out bought out rather than someone trying to compete against it.
I think one of the other interesting aspects about Foursquare is a lot of people are sick of having their Twitter feeds with Foursquare. So a developer has built an add-in to Seismic Desktop, and Seismic Desktop has been rebuilt using Silverlight to have a MEF plugin model. They built a plugin that basically ignores Foursquare check-in, so you don't all that noise.
Yeah.
You can just remove.
I think I made a couple smart-ass comments on Twitter, and then people turned that off. So. When in doubt, complain.
When in doubt, annoy your friends. Good, good.
Speaking of meth, this is Nerd Dinner, and I will let you go talk about
all
this
right,
one.
All right. So meth is Managed Extensibility Framework, and Scott goes through his Nerd Dinner application, which is an application to set up sort of like events that people can go to and
which is
have
a
meetups.
Reference app for ASP.NET MVC now, for the most part.
Yeah, it kind of is the hello world of MVC. So when I need to show off a new feature, I show off whatever.
Yeah.
And one of the things he talks about is how you can actually have extensibility using MEF for this. And he goes through a pretty cute example of... It was basically like Match.com. you're putting out by saying what sort of thing that you either export or import. This is the kind of thing that I'm looking for, and what sort of controllers match my likes and dislikes. So it's a more entertaining, I'd say, take on how to understand how MEF does its lookups, how to add the attributes and so forth. So definitely check that out.
Dropbox APIs. So this is a amazing example on how to actually leverage the Dropbox APIs using Rest Sharp and C Sharp. So then
you can add, upload, list, obviously.
So for those who don't know what Dropbox is, it's very much like Mesh or I guess you could say semi like SkyDrive, where you have an online file depot that you can upload. I believe they can even do syncing, much like Mesh. I'm not totally sure on that, but they give you a couple gigs for free, and then you actually have to pay for additional. But it's the fact that they have APIs against it gives them a far it makes it far more useful, in my opinion. He goes through this, the part one and a part two for creating the entire app. I believe he gives the source code away for
Part one is really how to do the OAuth authentication, because it's hard, and then the other part is really the add upload. But yeah, I mean, Dropbox is very cool in terms of what it can do. And in some cases, I kind of wish SkyDrive would have APIs and maybe a for-pay version. So if you wanted to call the APIs, you could actually, because there's so many things that we find ourselves sending video files, sending large zip files, whatever it is, and things like Mesh, once you run out of your free space, which, you know, I'm at my limit, and I'm sure you are.
I'm dangerously close at all times.
Yeah, so being able to have something where you'd have a for-pay service, I would pay for it, because I'd be able to change really large files, and, you know, maybe at a cool right-click Windows Explorer context, send to or delete from.
Yeah, and I'd be slightly intrigued is if anyone would kind of recreate the mesh-like ability of saying, oh, you had a file change on this system, and then sync it up with Dropbox, and then have another service that uses Dropbox as your
the base layer,
yeah,
and build Mesh on top of it.
Yeah, but I mean, there's lots of stuff that Mesh also has, like being able to RDC into your computer, namely behind a firewall, is amazing.
Yeah, no, I definitely love that feature.
So,
yeah, but that's interesting. I like the idea of somebody else potentially using Mesh or using this as sort of like a base API for Mesh. Cool.
Okay, so this is a tip calculator by the Visual Studio head dog, Jason Zander.
Yes.
He goes in and shows how to do a tip calculator between shifting it between portrait and landscape mode.
Right.
Or as I like to call it, hot dog and hamburger mode.
Is that really hot dog and hamburger
That's
mode?
What I learned in elementary school.
elementary school, they had phones? What?
That's what they called the paper. Hot dog and hamburger mode.
Wow, all right.
Sorry, you know, I was four.
All right.
And it's kind of cool because he talks about how, so you have your title and you have different rows, and then when you transition it into landscape mode, well, you have all this extra space, but then how do you deal with it? So he goes a bit differently than how you do it in Windows Mobile area, where you can do it orientation aware.
Right.
But by doing that, you have everything in a square because you have different size phones and whatnot. So this, he's like, okay, since it's XAML, we can create a grid and readjust objects in it when we get the hook for someone rotated their phone.
Sure.
Which makes it far more easy and powerful, but at the same time, you have to be very aware of, here's my screen size, can I shuffle this and make it look correct?
Yeah, so there's more hoops to jump through, but you get better customizability.
Yes.
So, cool. Azorkit, this is actually via Greg Duncan and also through our friend Pete Brown.
Okay.
Pete is actually doing a video with this guy that's going to ship on Channel 9 soon.
Oh, nice.
So, but this is a CodePlex project that allows you to, it's called a Z machine, but it's basically a system that allows you to play text-based adventures like Zork. So this is the, you're dropped in a desert. The obvious directions are northwest, and they're
and this
a small
is this to make fun of me because I've never played Zork?
Yeah, actually.
This is like Dungeons and Dragons.
That you never played Zork. Well, you have played Dungeons and Dragons style games before.
Yeah.
Because
I'm sorry, this is before.
Dragon Age?
This is before my time.
Before my time. Well, let me tell you, this is actually would be cool if somebody set it up as a gateway so you can play via IM. So that way it just looks like you're IMing somebody and really you're playing a text adventure. Keller and I did that the manual way. It got weird. So Saludo.
Okay.
TechCrunch awards before, and one of the cool things is Saludo is the winner of TechCrunch Disrupt. And what it is an app that basically looks at your machine, how it's set up, and gives you tips and tricks in terms of the applications, the application configuration, the things that you have installed in your machine that could be causing it to either slow down,
yeah,
be flaky, et cetera, et cetera. I wonder if it'll have things like uninstall Flash or something like that for a browser, if it's really that mean. But the point is, it does all these things and then uses crowdsourcing, if you will. So it takes what helped my machine,
yeah,
and then applies those same rules to yours and sort of learns on itself what are the best things that we, yeah, can do with, if a person has this setup, telling them to do these things, and it's going to mean this different performance, and sort of this repository of all, yeah, these best
or
practices.
Or if you're having this problem, how to fix it.
Right. New drivers, new whatever. So a lot of cool stuff, and people were like, wow, that's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, and making everybody's PC run better.
Yeah, and what's even cooler is this is actually an app built in WPF.
Yeah. Yeah, how cool is that?
Yeah.
Who would have thought we're doing startup stuff? Jesus. Microsoft? Irrelevant.
Going back to Azure.
Yes, Azure for WordPress. So for WordPress users, the interoperability team released this, and basically what it allows you to do is turn on, it's a plugin for WordPress that allows you to turn on Windows Azure storage. So the idea being, if you have images, you have zip files, documents, okay, videos that you want to store on Windows Azure storage, which has the ability to be basically a CDN where data is replicated,
yeah,
across 18 different places and all the benefits of a content delivery network, a CDN, this allows you to use it for WordPress.
Okay. Cool.
So, cool stuff.
Picks of the week.
Picks of the week.
Okay, so
where were you the last week?
So this weekend, the reason why I'm so amazingly sunburned.
Yeah, look at
that. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
Is I was at Maker Faire. Intel and Microsoft were invited to go with Ford, and we were there showing off some student. I think it was six students built a Ford application for the Fiesta. And drove it across from Detroit to Maker Faire in San Mateo. And I was there shooting off t-shirts with the robot and all that stuff. But I got to learn about the next generation Ford Sync along with FiestaWare, which is another platform they're releasing. and you are thinking about buying a Ford car, so now you're doing, ironically, a lot of research on it as well.
Yeah, so AppLink is basically the version that they were using in that Fiesta.
No.
It's not.
No, that was FiestaWare.
That was FiestaWare. AppLink,
which is different, but yes.
AppLink, from my understanding, and tell me if I'm getting this right, is version 4 of Ford Sync. I think that's right.
I don't know that.
Okay, so...
But I do know version 4 of Sync is coming out at the end of the year.
And what it'll allow you to do, we'll at least say what the scenario is, where you your cell phone, people that the building apps for cell phones, the cell phone can communicate via Bluetooth and send things to that Ford Sync, such that you can actually control the touchscreen and do voice commands.
Yeah.
So you saw the Pandora app.
I saw the Pandora app along with... I saw two apps. One was on Android, one was on BlackBerry. One of them, though, was a Pandora app, so it was streaming Bluetooth audio to the car system, and you could say, you know, give me my Pandora channels, mm-hmm. and it would actually use the speech engine then in your car and repeat it through the stereo system. So it was really kind of cool and showed how you can extend out your car through just your phone.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, Ford builds the platform kind of like how Microsoft builds a platform, and then you can extend it outward.
Yeah, and the idea being, because this is actually their mobile application developer network. It hasn't launched yet, and they will be launching, as you said.
Yeah. And they'll have source examples on iPhone, BlackBerry, Android, and Windows Mobile.
Yeah, and the idea being you can actually, the apps themselves live on the phone, and they communicate via Bluetooth.
Yes.
So some very cool stuff, I think. And we were talking about location-based services. This could be, and there are some articles on how your car could be the next, you know, app platform, if you will, in terms of just cool stuff, being able to get, you know, intimate knowledge, seeing where your friends are, doing, they had a sample app that was doing Foursquare check-ins.
The reason why I really like what Ford is doing is they're actually saying, hey, go build apps on our car, which, to my knowledge, no other real car dealer is doing.
No one.
I gotta say, like, as soon as my car is
run into the ground,
I am heavily contemplating buying a Ford.
Yeah, if nothing else to play with. So I'm pretty excited to play with it.
I may be borrowing your car.
Yeah, I think it's a cool thing for developers, and I can imagine so many different examples. And Ford has really been leading the way lately in technology. They were talking about even ways to do Ford Sync via Wi-Fi in the future, where you can, let's say you have a Wi-Fi network, you pull into your garage, you can sync your music from your machines onto the car. Because right now you can do it via USB, and there's a hard drive there. Why not do that over Wi-Fi?
I'm just like thinking of all the crazy stuff you could potentially do with Windows Phone 7. Because it's Zune Aware or a Zune Marketplace, so you can start downloading stuff and playing it through your car.
Well, I love the ability too. Is, you know, like I'm driving, I see a speed trap, I press the button that says, hey, you know, speed trap on this place. Lets me know if I'm the person, you know, 100 feet behind. I now get the warning because I hit that threshold.
One of the student apps.
We're gonna be here all day. I know. This is so exciting.
OMG.
that actually hurt. Okay, good.
So one of the student app that won was called Caravan Track. So they had three Fiestas moving along, and one of the options that they could send between all three cars, because they were all connected through the Sprint network, was Cop Ahead.
Yes! Somebody thought of my idea.
And someone did get pulled over, and by hitting that button, it saved the other two cars.
That's awesome! See, so, this is what I'm talking about, people.
And
this
is the future. I do know there is an app that runs on a different phone that's not Windows Phone 7 or Windows Mobile, but it's called, I think it's called Trapster, which does a very similar thing where they'll make you aware.
Yeah, I have seen Trapster, but you have to have the app running, and almost nobody seems to be using it, at least in our area. That's been my personal experience. I don't know if... Yeah, Larry's shaking his head. But you can actually see the website of it as well. It's one of those things where people have to be using it for it to...
Well, to me, like, what would be kind of cool is if you have, you know, the car screen in their nav system, and let's say you have the app working, I click the button on it, like, hey, I'm here, and it automatically just syncs back up and allows you to update
the
map. I'm not sure if forward sync APIs allow you to do that, but that's kind of integration that would just make it so much cooler.
And just to keep riffing on cool ideas where they could go, and is to use one of the features Windows Phone has for notifications, because there's so many things where I may be in a Windows a forward sync app, but I want the notification that, you know, so-and-so has been delivered, blah, 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 has been there, speed trap up ahead, and I may not be in the speed trap app.
Yeah, yeah.
So, lots of cool stuff there. So, Rene Schult, I hope I got his name. We screw up his name every time, so.
If not, he'll email us.
We love his cool, yeah, exactly. We love his cool apps, and this one is, the idea being, how do we take, for Silverlane WPF developers, how do you write these things called pixel shaders, which is using high-level shader language? So, and you actually have played with this as well.
Yeah. So what the app it does is, basically, he gives you an example on how to do donuts, basically. So, figure it's a mosaic plugin on steroids, where now, rather than just doing squares, it actually becomes circles, and then if you want, you can go have a donut hole cut out of the center, and you can go bigger, smaller, et cetera, et cetera. But he also has additional shaders there also. So he goes step by step on how to create the donut hole shader from ground up. And in addition, he talks about there's another app called Shazam, I believe. I hope I got that right.
Yeah, it's that tool utility that
talks about shaders and how to get them, et cetera, et cetera, and lets you tweak them to make your life a lot easier and when you start using them. So I think it's a really cool example. He talks about how to do it on using a physical webcam live image, or you can use a image. It's basically, you know, a brush in XAML.
Yeah. Yeah, so a lot of cool stuff. We'll have to wait for the Windows Phone version. But a lot of cool stuff for developers who play. And really the idea is, if you haven't played with HLSL, or you want to see kind of what's...
It's not as scary as people think.
It is kind of scary for me still, I would say. But it's what shows you what's possible.
Yeah.
Shows you what's possible.
Or it's by looking at what other people have done and done it, because Shazam is kind of this giant warehouse, if you will. You can go in and then tweak it slightly and make your own accordingly.
Mm-hmm. Make it your own dog, make your own. Yeah.
Well, one thing I really kind of want to do is create a Polaroid shader. Mm. Like, because I really like that the old school Polaroid effect, but just by, you know, picking and choosing other people's shaders, you can eventually make it into your own look and feel. And you really want to hit that button, don't you?
Boom! Because that's the end of the show. And thank you all for being on. And thank you, Quinn, for being on the show.
No problem.
And we will catch you next time.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-